Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the book of Romans, the epistle reading we heard read just a few moments ago, and specifically verse 1 introducing this section. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible statement from heaven, from the Lord Almighty himself, through the Apostle Paul, stating that we have peace with God. Well, certainly, as we look at the world, we don't see a lot of peace, do we? And certainly here a couple weeks ago again in Florida, another horrible act of violence and families that continue to grieve and suffer in our nation with them in the loss of loved ones and so young and in such a tragic way. But it's interesting, since that event and many of them similar to those events, we hear out in the public square the promotion to love one another, right? And then we hear many expressing the desire for peace. But listen to these words again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a great misunderstanding in our culture today about peace and what peace really is and what the source of peace is. But as God's people, we are blessed to know. You know, it's Jesus who said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus, the Lord of peace, the author of peace, says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And then isn't it interesting? Jesus says these words, "Not as the world gives do I give to you." So it's a different kind of peace. And we do have that slide, by the way, to have it up there. But Jesus makes a clear distinction between the peace he gives as compared to the world and what it defines as peace. And so his peace is reconciliation with God. And that's a big word, reconciliation, but it means that we were once in a broken relationship, that we were once separated from God, and yet God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, intervened, and he has established peace between us and God. So this peace isn't something that can be achieved, but it is a gift, and it can only be personally realized through faith in Christ. And, you know, in Romans 4:25, you see, therefore, as Paul introduces chapter 5, and, of course, in the original text, there are no chapter numbers or verses, but the verse before really defines the therefore, and Paul writes, "He was delivered over to death," referring to Jesus, "he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." We don't have any sound? Okay.
I think it's your mic, but we're not sure.
Sorry about that.
Now do we have, oh, wow, there's power in that. Technology, isn't it a wonderful thing? So as Paul speaks of therefore, he introduced that with the verse before.
And Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
And so this peace that is true peace, established peace, it can only be established by God through the gift of His Son. And it's not a surface peace of, oh, let's just all get along. But it starts here with each one of us individually in the heart. It's a peace within. And so Jesus says, not as the world gives. Because if the world, meaning the unbelieving world, obviously does not acknowledge Christ, and if they do not confess and not acknowledge and trust in Christ, then they cannot have this peace that Jesus speaks of. Not as the world gives. And so we hear the world, though, say, we need to love one another. Hear that a lot, don't we? We need to love one another. In fact, I saw some, I think it was in Denver, a young person after the Florida shootings that really wanted to promote love, promote peace. But apart from Christ, it's powerless, it's surface, it's very self-centered. Because you see, apart from Christ, if I want to have peace with you, it's I will be at peace with you if. And so peace becomes very conditional, and it really comes to the extent of advantageous to me personally. That's the way the unbelieving world operates. It's the only way that it can operate apart from Christ. And so apart from Christ, how is peace somehow established in the world? But it's by force. It's by our police forces on the local level, and it's by the military, obviously, on the national and international level. But that is a surface peace. If it's not internal, then there's still turmoil below. And it shouldn't surprise us that in all that turmoil, that it's going to rise up many times and show its ugly face. If an individual is not at peace with God, then that same individual is not even capable of maintaining peace with another individual. Do you believe that? If not, I'll take you to God's word, Isaiah chapter 57, where we hear these words. But the wicked are like the tossing sea. And by the way, the wicked here, referring to all of those who do not believe in Christ, those separated from God. But the wicked are like the tossing sea. For it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Wow, this is the Almighty God speaking, and there is no peace you could put in there for the unbeliever. The wicked represent the unbelieving world. And notice what their lives are like within, quite the description, like the tossing sea. Have you ever been by the ocean and see how turbulent the ocean can be as it crashes into those cliffs on shore? And it's just constant turmoil, right? And that's God's description for a life internally separated from Him. And what's interesting, it crosses all statuses of life. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you are slave or free. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. It doesn't matter if you live in a palace or in a shack that's ready to fall down. It affects the unbelieving world in the very same way. There is never rest when you are not at peace with God. Now, people are trying to put Band-Aids on it. They're trying to figure out a way to find the peace that they're looking for, and they'll do it through seeking pleasure or fame or wealth. But how does that work out? It just causes more problems, right? It just causes more intense tossing of the sea, and peace is found nowhere. And so in order to curb our culture in some frame of mind to keep some kind of surface peace, God bless the police that are out there striving to do that on the local level, and our men and women in uniform that strive to do that on the national level. Because in the unbelieving world, that's the only way there can be some sense of order. We may calm the surface through those means, but the tossing sea is right below. People that are agitated and disturbed, and when the right buttons are pushed, you have Las Vegas, you have the church in Texas, you have Florida, and the list can go on and on and on. Because you see, the source of all of this is sin. The barrier that would stand between all mankind and God if it weren't for Christ, and of course those separated from Christ, that barrier is still there. Do you know how God describes the unbeliever in relationship to him? Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Look at that. The mind set on the flesh, meaning being an unbeliever, focusing only on the physical things of this world, discounting God altogether, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. And then look at that. Indeed, it cannot. It's an impossibility. That's powerful stuff. But it's good for you and me to know as we continue our journey of faith to understand why things are happening the way that they are. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So the world says, can't we just all get along? Can't we just somehow love one another? And the resounding answer to that, apart from Christ, is absolutely not. It's an impossibility. I think this one's really interesting, the protests for peace. Boy, there's an oxymoron, right? We're going to be walking out of schools, disobeying the school authorities as kids, and we're going to go out and protest for peace. But again, it's very revealing of how life goes apart from Christ. For Jesus is the only, and I underline and put that in bold print, Jesus is the only source of peace. Why? Because he's the one that has established it. And it's not something that we can achieve. It's a gift. And it's realized through justification, as we heard at the beginning in Romans 5:1. And justified means to be declared not guilty, even though we are fully guilty. But Jesus took that guilt upon himself. And what he does is Jesus deals with the raging, tossing sea within. That's where he begins, not on the surface. Think about all the times that Jesus sees things on the surface and, oh, they look so nice, like the Pharisees. But boy, does he cut them to heart when he reveals the heart. And not only the Pharisees, but you and me, the sinner, also. Only Jesus can resolve this problem of sin, and he has done it, and he did it at the cross. As Paul introduced this text, the verse before that we did not see on the screen this morning, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. It's all his work. And in that work, peace has been established. It's offered to the world, but it's through faith that it becomes our personal possession. Peace is a gift, and even faith is a gift. And by the way, the Greek word for peace, eirene, beautiful word. Literally what that word means is tied together in a whole. W-H-O-L-E, wholeness. And tied together with God as one, whole. Isn't that powerful? That's inner peace. And that's what can calm the raging, tossing sea within, and so God does. And what we get through peace, first and foremost, is God takes the guilt away from us. We are freed from that burden of guilt, and God declares us not guilty. And we can stand before the holiness of God. And what the Lord gives us is absolute security. So it shouldn't surprise us when Paul, after introducing this peace that it comes through justification, in verses 2 to 5 in Romans 5, our text before us today, he writes, "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And then I love this. This is what a peace-filled life is like in the midst of total turmoil and chaos in the world. "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." We are blessed. And we are empowered then in all of these circumstances and many more. Paul just lists a few here of severe trials we can go through in life, but we can persevere through them because God, having established peace within us, enables us to remain at peace. We know how to process the turmoils that life brings. Somebody outside and apart from Christ has no clue. So it shouldn't surprise us when a 19, 20, 21-year-old, assuming they've never known Jesus, they've got to process the turmoil within, and tragically, their way of doing it is, "I've got to destroy the lives of others." See how that's a self-centered seeking of peace? But as a Christian, even if we're bullied, even if we're greatly abused by others, we see everything in a whole different light. You know, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 in our text, we hear, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now think about that. We look at the cross and we realize, "God, you know, you could have condemned me to hell for eternity. That's what I deserve. But even separated from you, Jesus, in all of my sin, still you approached my situation by loving me." Now think about those people in your life that, you know, it's kind of like if you see them walking down the street, it's, "Oh, I don't want to see them. I'm going to take the corner, go in a building. I just don't want to have a confrontation with them." But see them through the cross, and you see a person in a whole different way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I love these words. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." We look at people through the cross. And they may be some of the most ugly, most ungodly, most wicked people you could ever meet in your life. But when we look at them through the cross, first of all, it's a reminder that I would be there apart from Christ. And they're there now because they don't know Christ. And instead of this hatred swelling up within towards them, there's this longing to love them and to desire that they too could have the peace within that we are blessed to have. That's not an easy road for us as Christians. And it's one where we make ourselves vulnerable, and it's one that we can get hurt very badly by the world's standards in doing. But isn't that what Jesus talks about in the gospel this morning? Verse 34 of Mark 8, we don't have it for the screen. It's referenced in the bulletin. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Boy, that's a totally different kind of journey, isn't it? As a Christian kid being bullied at school, if they're living their faith, they can process that. And it's like, yeah, I know where this person's coming from. It's sad. They don't apparently know Jesus, or they wouldn't be acting out that way. But at this point, I got to deny myself. Not run home, get a gun, and take them out. But deny myself and take up the cross. And that means to reach out to love them. And hopefully through that love, peace will come to them as well. What a journey God has called you and me to be on as his people. Can you imagine what would happen in our school systems across the country if the first session every morning would be in the Word together? Of course, that would cause, then you'd have all other religions in, and obviously it's probably not the way it's going to work this side of heaven. But we don't have to have that. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a great calling. We are to be peacemakers. And there's a lot of discussion going on now about guns and all of those things, and very heated. You don't have to look for the opportunities to step into a conversation and to share the truth. May God bless you and me that we are faithful in doing that very thing, because then the stormy sea is calmed, not just on the surface, but within. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us and honored us to this great work as peacemakers. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.